And I have found in my years of life that the best thing to do is to turn to the Word of God. And 37th Psalm has been one of my favorites. It's a Psalm of David. It's called a wisdom psalm because it's written as an acrostic. In the Hebrew, the paragraphs each begin with the letters of the alphabet. And David was trying to show that the man who trusts in the Lord can have peace and satisfaction even though the wicked do prosper. And so I'm just going to read the first 8 verses for you. Do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land. Feed on his faithfulness. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. For evildoers shall be cut off, and those who wait on the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. The writer of the Psalms has given us many reasons to know that the Word of God is a place of comfort, a place of help in times of trouble. And so he begins by saying, do not fret or do not worry about evildoers. It's something that is easy to do when you see how those round about you are prospering, though they have no desire for anything spiritual, and they seem to have everything that they want and desire. I was reading somewhere that one of the hardest jobs in the world is the coach of athletic teams of the professionals. He says they're all millionaires, and they don't care for anything, many times doing just as they please. And we could perhaps ask, why are they paid so much? Well, they're good athletes, and people pay to go see them. But many of them boast of their sinful practices, and that's hard to take sometimes. I remember one basketball player who started in Philadelphia, and he boasted that he had relations with over 2,000 women. And yet he is still going on today in the things of the world. But when we see that, I think we can turn to the Word of God for an answer. Why is that true? Psalm 73 is one that has the answer for that. The 73rd Psalm says this. God is good to Israel, to such as are of a pure heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had almost slipped. And I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. The writer says, I just didn't know what to do. It seemed like things nothing was going my way. For there are no pangs in their death. Their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance, and they have more than heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walks through the earth. And that certainly is true for those who are sinners before the Lord. Therefore, his people return here, and waters in a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Surely I've cleansed my heart in vain, washed my hands in innocence. All day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. If I have said I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to the generation of your children. When I thought to understand this, it was too painful for me. Until, and here's the crux of the whole thing, until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. Oh, how they are brought to desolation in a moment. They are utterly consumed with terrors, as a dream when one awakens. So, Lord, when you awake, you shall despise their image. And I could go on with the rest of the psalm, but you got the idea that the psalmist learned the lesson. He learned why those who were having such a good time in this life can understand that they have an eternity without God. And so that's the answer for why worry about the wicked. And then he says in our back 37th psalm, be not envious of the workers of iniquity. I remember a story that David Jeremiah told recently about this sin of envy, something that can take your heart and just make it not profitable to God, not profitable to yourself, not profitable to others. The story he told was about two men in a hospital, and they were in a single room together, and one man was next to the window, the other man was not. They talked back and forth at times, but the one man that was away from the window said, oh, if only I could see what was going on outside, make it so much easier in here. And so his friend said, well, I'll look and see. And he got up on one elbow and looked out the window, and he gave vivid accounts of the trees, of the birds, of the things that were going on, the grass that was growing, the sunshine. And so he, day after day, did that for him until the man in the other bed became so envious he didn't know what to do. But one night his companion started to cough and wasn't able to reach the thing to call the nurse, and he knew that he should have called the nurse, but he didn't. He thought, I'll wait and see what happens. This is what envy can do to you. I'll wait and see what happens. And the cough got worse, and then it got softer and stopped altogether. And when the nurse came in later, she found that the second man had already passed on and was no longer alive. Well, of course, they had to take the body out, and the other man thought for a while, and he said, do you think I could get moved over next to the window? Well, said the nurse, I'm sure we can do that for you. And they moved him the next day so that he was next to the window. And he could hardly wait to see, to lift up, to look out, to see what was out there. It was a blank wall. His friend had sought to try to please him by telling him what he saw, but it wasn't anything. And so through his envy, he lost his best friend, and he lost an opportunity to have what he wanted. So envy is something that can drain your life and mine if we allow it to. Don't be envious of the workers of iniquity. Someone has said that the first phrase is repeated three times, and the second phrase also is repeated, don't be envious, three times. So the Lord is trying to show each of us that we need to not worry and not be envious. Worry, of course, we know is something that can sap the mind and heart and our intellect too. We need to be able to trust the Lord. And the writer says that they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. As you realize the end of those who seem to prosper without the Lord, you can be sure that their end is not one that we would enjoy. I was thinking in the hotline in the hospital yesterday afternoon how like eternity that will be. I was seeing something that was taking place in somebody's home, and the next moment I was in as far as I could see, the next moment I was in the hospital. It will be like that in eternity when the Lord returns for those who are his own. Whatever we might be doing today, it could be changed in a moment, as it says in the Bible, the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Now, another thing to remember is verse 3 of that chapter, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And the writer of the Psalms, and I'm sure you have turned to the Psalm many times to help you in your living day by day. And one of the Psalms 20 and verse 7 says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will trust in the name of the Lord. And that's the answer to you and I, to whom we put our trust and let the Lord work in our lives. Trust in the Lord, and then he says, and do good. And what do we mean by doing good? I think of Romans chapter 7. The Apostle Paul had that problem. He said, the good that I want to do, I don't do. And the good and the evil that I don't want to do, I do. And he says it just seems to be no end of living in that situation until he came to, and put his trust in the Lord. And then when he did, he could become a voice for God, a mighty voice in our world. So we need to put our trust and living in him. I remember reading about John Wesley, the great preacher in the early days of the Reformation, and he sent verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord. He sent that to a friend of his who had been ill and was recovering, and he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. His friend wrote back and said, I have often admired that verse, but John Wesley had appended a $5 bill with the note, and he says, that spoke louder than anything else. So we need to trust in the Lord. We need to do good. We need to delight ourselves also in the Lord. What is the delight of your heart? What is the thing that you desire most in life today? And I must challenge my own heart of that concerning. I just read recently, I guess it was in the Reader's Digest, about a young basketball player who was raising a child that his wife had abandoned, and he was going through college, and he was one of the top basketball players in the country, but he was raising his four-year-old daughter and spent every waking moment outside of the basketball court taking care of him. And even while he was practicing, they said he would stop and see how she's doing, to make sure that she was not getting into mischief. We can see what the desire of his heart was, to please that daughter and to raise her for the people of the Lord. But when he graduated, they said, heads of the college said, this is for Will Smith and his daughter Olivia. And they gave him a standing ovation, because he had spent his whole 4 years in college doing what he thought would be the best for his child, and that she might be raised in the right way, even though he had no wife or any woman to care for her. So we see that we need to know what our delight is. What are we looking for the Lord to bless us in our lives together? Delight also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And if your desires have not been met in life, perhaps it's because you haven't delighted in the Lord. I have had to question my own heart many times to see whether what I'm doing or how I'm doing it was for the Lord, would bring blessing to him. And so I need to commit my way to the Lord. I need to trust also in him. And that trust is something that means that we're willing to place our entire self, roll it over onto him. He will bring it to pass. Thank you for cold water. All right. The righteous man, his dependence is upon the Lord, and the one who is not for the Lord will not be doing that which the Lord is blessed in his work and in his things that he does. So we need to commit our way unto the Lord. That little word, commit, means to roll over. We'll roll it onto him and let him take it. And that's not always easy to do. We tend to be people who feel that I can do it for myself. I don't need to have God's help. But we realize that when we do, it doesn't always come to pass. And when we trust in him, we can be sure that he will bring it to pass. Now, someone has written this: if you have been slandered for your character and your character is stale, if reproach comes on you from the wicked, then count yourself, commit your way to the Lord. Notice that the Lord is working it out. Trust, and you notice each one of these, the object of our trust or committed or whatever, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, rest in the Lord. Each one of these objects of our commitment and our work day by day. When I was working for the telephone company some years ago, I had a supervisor. Well, I had a Bible class at lunchtime once a week, and the supervisor was doing his best to to take that away from me. He would schedule conferences. He would do everything he could to keep me from that Bible study class. And not only that, but he demoted me and did everything he could to bring pain to whatever I was doing. He was doing that to someone else, and that fellow says, I'm taking him to court. I'm going to take him to trial. And I said, well, if that's what the Lord is sending my way, I'm willing to accept it. And it was that that drove me to retire from the telephone company early and to go to Africa. And the Lord worked that out. And when I left to go, they gave me a dinner, and they gave me a big gift of money to go with me, because they were thankful that I was being able to do that. And the Lord worked it out. I was upset at the time, I admit. I was, that seemed to rile me up, is to see this man who was doing his best to bring to naught the things of God. But the Lord works it out for him, and he can do it for you and each one of us if we're willing to commit our way and trust in him. He will bring it to pass. Now, but that isn't all that the psalmist has written about. And this is some beautiful things. He says, rest in the Lord, wait patiently for him. Resting is something that we don't like to do. We like to see action. And so that waiting is something that we say, well, maybe if I could help him a little bit, the Lord will bring it to pass. The Lord is able to do what he has planned. And we're told in Romans chapter 4. And if we trust in what the Lord is able to do, we know that he will bring to pass that which is for his glory and for our good. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I can't tell you how many times I have had to bring this verse to bear in my own life, to rest in the Lord, to wait patiently. But I found that every time I did, he was able to bring it to pass, that which was for my benefit and for his good. Now he goes on to say something that he said in the first verse. Don't worry. Oh, you say, but I have a lot to worry about. What's the difference? I asked the question of my own heart. What's the difference between worry and concern? We are to be concerned about things, surely, but we're not to worry about it. And what is the difference? Well, concern is one that trusts in the Lord. The other does not trust. the Christian should not be emotionally disturbed with anger and resistance and malice and hatred and all of the rest when we're serving the Lord and things don't go the way we think they should. I remember hearing of Corrie Ten Boom and her great lifetime of service to the Lord. And she tells a story that struck my own heart. You know, she had been mistreated terribly in the prison camp, and so much so that her sister, who was with her, finally died because of neglect. And the guards would cause the women to completely disrobe and make fun of them and hit them and do everything they could to make them uncomfortable. After the war was over, of course, she was able to go around and tell men and women of how the Lord was able to bless in even those times of great trial. And she was a great storyteller. She said that one day she was telling her story in a church, and this is after the war, and then inviting folks to come and trust the Lord as their Savior and as their Lord. And one man came forward, and he says, "Corey, do you remember me?" And she looked at him again, and she said, "I did remember him. He was one of the guards. He was one of the worst ones that I lived under in that time." And she says, "I turned away from him." And she said, "I've been saved, Corey." He says, "Will you forgive me?" She thought for a while, and she said, "Well, if the Lord's able to forgive her, I guess I can too." And so she did. And she said, "Yes, I do forgive you." And it would not be easy, I'm sure, after you've been mistreated, as this woman had been many times. And so the Lord says to cease from anger, forsake wrath, do not fret. And there he says it again. Don't worry. Don't worry. Forsake wrath and trust the Lord. Then he, and I won't take time to go through the rest of the chapter, but he shows how that the wicked plot against the just and the gnash at him with their teeth, and the Lord laughs at him, and he sees that his day is coming. And so he said that even though the righteous go through trials, and you will have trials, let me tell you, if you're here without Christ, you need to trust him as your Savior. And if you've never trusted him, let me tell you, you need him as your blessed Lord and Savior, not only for now, but for eternity. But let me tell you, I'm not saying that the Christian life is one of ease. And the Christian life means you'll have an easier time in your life day by day. It might be much harder. And we know that the Lord is able to bless even in times of great trial. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. He delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. We get some idea when David wrote this psalm, because he says, "I have been young and now am old." He was an old man full of wisdom. It's called a wisdom psalm, and it's written with a simple message to maintain patience in the midst of troubles. So David has shown us how we might trust him in our walk day by day. Has that been a pathway for you? Have you trusted him as your Savior, first of all, and then trusted him to lead you and guide you in the way that he would have you go? He wants you to depart from evil and do good and to dwell forevermore, and the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. And he finishes by saying that the wicked watch the righteous and seeks to slay him. The Lord will not leave him in his hand or condemn him when he is judged. And then he says once more, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land when the wicked are cut off and you shall see it." And so I would say to you as I come to a close, if you have problems and trials in your life, here's the place to go.
Here's the place to give you help. Here's the place to give you the joy of the Lord in your life. And whatever it might be, whether it seems to be something that is not what you desire, what you're looking for, the Lord has the best. He does the work. He knows, he loves, he cares. Nothing this thought can dim. He does the very best for those who put their trust in him. And I trust that each of us will do that today. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again that you have promised to help us in our walk with you. We need that day by day. And there are times when things take place in our lives and we don't really know what to do. And yet we need to rest, to trust, to commit, to delight, and to not fret because of evildoers. Help us, Lord, to do that. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.